Well, Niall is certainly in good company in finding his feet in business through failure. Donald Trump, Richard Branson both failed before they succeeded. And even Thomas Edison reportedly made 10,000 attempts before inventing the first light bulb. Failure can even be a surprising catalyst for success. We've been meeting some Irish business people who haven't allowed failure to hold them back.
In essence, every game, video game back then anyway, you get three lives, you know, you get killed, you lose your life, and that's it, game over. When we finished the game, we had to run it by Michael Jackson's management company to get it approved. And one of the things we had to change was Michael couldn't die. But so we had to change the whole game. So Michael, when an alien shot him, he didn't die, he spun around, did a little dance, stuck his magic finger up in the air and turned into pixie dust and fall and then reincarnate.
In 1988, at the age of 18, Car Trawler's chief technology officer, Bobby Healy, had never heard of failure. He was earning a lot of money programming video games like Michael Jackson's Moonwalker for Emerald Software in Waterford.
Got the job of my life, making 14,000 quid a year. I thought I had more money than I could dream of.
But after that company collapsed, Bobby decided to go it alone. And by the age of 21, he landed a $300,000 contract to build software in Mexico.
And I went to live in Mexico City. I had such a great time there. It was such a great place to live. Dangerous as hell, but a great place. And it's still, you know, my spiritual home. And it was all working really well. I built the software in the hotel room. It took me about 9 months. Software's going great. It started to run into problems. The client wasn't paying their bills. So as it turns out, the client went bankrupt. I essentially went bankrupt again. All the spare cash I had was gone. I was living in this hotel room. I couldn't even pay my hotel bill. And that's the truth of it. Absolute disaster. And that was a frightening experience, because there was a debt, you know. There was a small debt, but it was a debt. No fear of the future, because I could always earn money. But there was a problem, because there was a great potential in this software that was literally falling through my fingers.
But of course, failure isn't limited to the world of software. The fitness industry in Ireland is big business, and no one knows that better than Morgan Pierce. She coordinated the Curves fitness franchises here. We went to meet her at the outdoor gym in Ballauli Park near Dundrum.
All right, America, it's time to get up, get your kids moving and get fit. Let's go. Are you ready?
Here, I'll have a go on it here. It's basically a seat. It's like a bench press in a gym, but there don't seem to be any weights.
I think it's working a little bit on some resistance that's probably, and then a bit of your own weight.
Spot me, Morgan, spot me! No, it's not that hard, actually. It's fine. Look at that.
The first thing we're gonna do. I had three franchises for my sins. They were really successful. We opened 150 Curves in 28 months. Huge growth. We felt like we were really doing some very good for the women of Ireland. They were coming into their own financially, socioeconomically, and exercise was, you know, very much on the agenda.
After this success with Curves, Morgan decided to set up a new fitness business in 2007 called Body Smart. But as she says, the timing was far from perfect.
We, of course, signed some pretty expensive leases, and so we had to effectively just keep working for the landlords. We got ourselves caught up a few years later in continuing to pour money into trying to market and get more people through the door, and eventually we just ran out of runway.
Morgan and her partner, both in life and in business, tried everything they could to keep their heads above water.
2010, we sold our house to keep it going. It was a mortgage-free house too, so that hurt. And you kind of just hoped that it would turn and that people would, you know, start coming around and start spending money on that type of activity again. It lasted longer than our ability to continue to finance it. And all of the money that we made from selling our house was gone. So it was a lot. It was a lot.
You are laughing about it now. I'm sure you weren't at the time. Were you devastated?
I think when you're going through something like that, you just keep motoring ahead. Yes, you're devastated, but you have to get up in the morning and take a shower, put your clothes on, put a face on, you know, your happy face and get out there and keep going. And I guess one alternative is to go under the duvet and never come out again, which probably happened on a couple of occasions. When you're an entrepreneur, you really try, you're so optimistic that you don't, you know, you're kind of blinded by your optimism in many ways. You therefore don't make necessarily the right decisions.
Hello, Russell.
Yeah.
Richard Curran here from RTE.
How you doing? Come on up to the first floor.
Great, thanks. Russell Banks worked in technology sales for 12 years before deciding, along with some others, to set up a company, Conquer, in 2010.
Do you want a cup of tea or anything?
But he says that they were so focused on the tech elements of the business that they didn't give enough time or thought to their customers.
You know, it was one of those things, you look back at it and you go like, what the hell were we thinking?
Russell says their lack of focus on revenue was the nail in the coffin.
Well, it feels horrible. Like, I mean, I say there's this concept in startup land, like, you know, fail fast, fail often. I think that's a complete nonsense because failure hurts so much. Like, if you have a cataclysmic failure, like, basically what I felt we had, it really hurts so much at every level. So what you really start thinking is like, you know, how am I going to face the investors? Like, people have put money in. Like, we'd raised 140,000 euros. That wasn't my money. That's somebody else's money. You know, how do you look those people in the face? You know, your friends and family, your employees who said, no, stay with us, guys. You know, give up those opportunities. Don't, you know, take that 50% pay cut to come join us. You know, we're going to, you know, conquer the world and be this amazing company. Like, All of that comes crashing in on you. You're like, oh my God, what do I do with this? You know, you're co-founder, you know, you're fighting. There's all things, you know, it gets very, very horrible very fast.
When faced with failure, Russell says you tend to think you're the only one affected by it.
But of course, the reality is everybody who's close to you gets affected by it, right? Because they care for you, they love you. You know, if you're feeling pain, they're feeling pain. Like, that's the way that works. So that was one of the big things I realized, of course, was I thought like, oh, this is all happening to us and to me. And actually, it's happening to everybody around you.
To add insult to injury, the week of Russell's wedding, his company ran out of cash. And as he and his fiancée were out shopping the day before they were due to be married, Russell got a call from an investor.
And basically kind of rang up and kind of admonished me a little bit on the phone and said, look, you know, what the hell? I'd expect to hear from this from you and, you know, all the rest of it. And as that conversation was happening, I saw my wife leave. She'd left, Stella left out the door. And I thought like that she'd had it. That was it. That's the moment she just had enough of this. She said, like, you know, I just thought in my mind that's what was going on for her. And so she walked out the door. And then I just, like, my world literally fell apart there. And I went, whatever at the business. So I kind of told him, look, get stuff, basically. I'll call you on Monday. And I ran out the door. And I was like, you know, are you okay? And she goes, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm just giving you some space because I just wanted to go next door to the other shop. So I was like, oh, okay, that's okay then. Do you know what I mean?
That was a close one.
Yeah, I was just like, okay. Woo, whatever about the business. Make sure not to screw up the really important things, right?
But despite the failures, Morgan, Bobby and Russell are all back in business. And they're big believers that Irish attitudes towards failure need to change.
You know, failure is part of the resume. It's part of your CV. In fact, if you haven't failed, then you probably haven't taken enough risk.
Bring in people that you trust that may be smarter than you at doing things. So what I've really learned is find the right people.
They are called risks because sometimes they work out and sometimes they don't. But if you then admonish somebody for taking a risk, you know, it's almost kind of saying you've got one shot at this and that's it, which is just barmy because, you know, you need to allow people, like, have a shot, make their mistakes, go again. But I think it's important that people are sharing their stories of, you know, this is the effect it had on me personally and this is what I learned, and then share that with other people in the community so that they don't make the same mistakes.
Bobby Healy from Car Trawler, Morgan Pierce from Project 10 and Russell Banks from Investor Sheet there.